So today we read from the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 3, chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Devotional Service. It's text number 8, the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Your Lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance, because you are my transcendental eye, which, by your mercy only, I have attained after many, many births. Please repeat after me. Your Lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance, because you are my transcendental eye, which, by your mercy only, I have attained after many, many births. Report by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This verse is very instructive, since it indicates the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. The disciple, or conditioned soul, is put into this darkest region of ignorance, and therefore is entangled in the material existence of sense gratification. It is very difficult to get out of this entanglement and attain freedom. But if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a spiritual master like Kapila Muni or his representative, then by his grace one can be delivered from the mire of ignorance. The spiritual master is therefore worshipped as one who delivers the disciple from the mire of ignorance with the light of a torch of knowledge. The word paragam is very significant. Paragam refers to one who can take a disciple to the other side. This side is conditioned life. The other side is the life of freedom. The spiritual master takes a disciple to the other side by opening his eyes with knowledge. We are suffering simply because of ignorance. By the instruction of the spiritual master, the darkness of ignorance is removed, and thus the disciple is enabled to grow to the side of freedom. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many births, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, if after many, many births one is able to find a bona fide spiritual master and surrenders to such a bona fide representative of Krishna, one can be taken to the side of light. Your Lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance, because you are my transcendental eye, which, by your mercy only, I have attained after many, many births. So in this verse and the purport of Vyasadeva and Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas point out the extreme importance of having a guru. That we cannot attain to Krishna, we cannot reach Krishna, we cannot have any knowledge of Krishna without having a guru. It is only completely by the mercy of the guru that we can
make any advances. We can make any real advancement in Krishna consciousness. We may make some agyata sukriti, which performs some agyata sukriti, which makes us eligible to get a guru. But simply on our own, we cannot find Krishna. We cannot know anything about Krishna. So this position of the guru is of paramount importance. It is not that certain philosophers, even branches, spin-offs of ISKCON say that you don't have to get initiated. You don't need. You can simply take. Continue taking initiation from Srila Prabhupada. You have to have a living guru. As Bhakti Siddhanta, he criticized the Christians because they had this Ekka Mahanta Mahata, that only one person that would be the guru. Because Srila Prabhupada did say that if one was to follow the instructions of Christ, yes, you would achieve the desired goal. But Srila Prabhupada also said, after meeting many so-called Christians, that he had yet to meet a Christian because they actually weren't followed, because they did not have a guru to instruct them, to correct them. Otherwise, everybody just, they interpret the way they want according to their convenience. So having a instructing guru, as Devahuti is pointing out, is a great benediction to her. That after many, many births, Bahu Janmanam Ate, Nanavan Mantra Pradite, Vasu Devam Sarmiti, Sa Mahatma Sarvabhava. At the conclusion of many lifetimes, one who has achieved knowledge, he understands that Vasudeva, Krishna, he is all that there is. Such a great soul is very powerful. Such a great soul is very hard to find, and such a great soul is qualified to be a guru. But how to get such a guru? As Lord Chaitanya, he also explained, Ramanda Komya Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna Prasaditaya Bhakti Lata Bhija. But the living entity, he is wandering from one Ramanda to the next Ramanda. Many, many Ramandas, so to speak of Bahu Janma. Bahu Brahmandas. So one Brahmanda is the life of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma lives, according to Shastra, for 311 trillion and 40 billion years. So if you divide that by 100, which would be the length of a human life, that is an incredible, it's a very long time. That's many, many lifetimes. And we go through many such Brahmandas. But if someone is a Bhagyavan Jeev, someone who is very, very fortunate, then by the mercy of Krishna, he will be the guru. And then the guru will plant in his heart the seed of devotion by which he can achieve Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport, what does it mean to be Bhagyavan Jeev? What does it mean to be a fortunate soul, one who has achieved great prosperity? It means that one has to be sincere, totally sincere. Somebody who really wants to know, somebody who is willing to surrender, who is willing to do whatever it takes to achieve the goal. Who is willing to surrender his life to the Guru, follow his instructions, and achieve Krishna. So such a great soul is very difficult to find. But when such a soul is willing, when they speak of the Guru, to find the Guru is difficult. It's difficult to find such a soul who is worthy of having such a Guru. It's difficult. Because when the person is ready, then the Guru appears. When the soul is ready, the guru appears. Krishna knows. Krishna is in your heart. He knows. But there's so many types of gurus. Real gurus, bogus gurus. As is stated at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there are many. The persons of this age are so unfortunate that even if they try for spiritual life, they get cheated. So, you have to be very, very sincere. And then Krishna brings Guru. And then if you're very fortunate, then you will surrender to that Guru. And you will dedicate your life to that Guru. Srila Prabhupada, he said that when he was reading the commentary on Gita by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he read the commentary of that verse, he said that the disciple must take the order of the Guru as his life and soul. He must take the order of his Guru as his life and soul. Then he will become successful. There's another verse, I think it's in the fourth canto. I was reading it a few years ago, where Vyasadeva said that the words of the Guru are worshipful. You can do worship, you can puja to the Guru. As we are singing in the Guru Vandana prayer, that the words Guru Vakya is what is delivering us. So in this verse, it says here, Satchatur, that he is, it's okay, Satchatur, that the Guru is the transcendental eye. He gives the disciple, in the Purport Prabhupada says, the disciple is the one who is stuck in illusion. Srila Prabhupada once commented that I have written these books for the atheists, my disciples. The atheists are his disciples, because we are the ones who are stuck in illusion. These books are for us. So the disciple is the one who is stuck in illusion, and illusion means unable to see clearly. Right? So you're in illusion means you're not able to tell water from mirage. You can't see the real thing. There are many optical illusions. You can't tell up from down. Just like Duryodhana, when he went to the palace in Indraprastha, there were so many illusions. He couldn't tell where was land, where was water. He thought the land was water, but he thought the water was land, and everybody laughed at him. That was a big problem. Because he was an illusion. All the bhavanas knew what was what. So the guru, he provides the eyes for the disciple. Why? Because he is the living Bhagavatam. The Shastra is the eye. Shastra Chakshu. As Chanakya Pandit says, the Brahmana, he sees through the Shastras. Shastra Chakshu. The king sees through. What does the king see? How does the king see? Huh? Spies. The king has many spies. As it says in the fourth canto, that no sin could be performed in the kingdom of Maharaj Prithu because he had a vast network of spies. Spies watching the spies who are watching the spies. Everybody was under his observation through his many spies. He is Sahasranetra. He has thousands of eyes everywhere. Nothing is beyond his purview. That's why no secret sins could be committed in the kingdom of Prithu. Same with Prithu. Any king has many spies. And a cow sees through its nose. Is it good to eat or is it not good to eat? And an ordinary man sees with his eyes. So the guru, he is, as Srila Prabhupada explained, that there is the book Bhagavatam and there is the person Bhagavatam. So we have to be able to not just speak the Bhagavatam, but we have to also be able to live the Bhagavatam. That was the glory of Haridas Thakur. We're glorifying Haridas Thakur that many people, they give good prachar, but they have bad achar. Others have good achar, but no prachar. But Haridas Thakur, he had very good prachar and very good achar. Therefore, he was glorious. His preaching was very effective. So the guru is like that. The real guru, the sad guru,
He is Guru means what? He means heavy. Heavy with knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Political knowledge? Of what's going on in Delhi? The stock market? No. He has knowledge of reality, of the supreme reality, Sat. Because that, as I stated in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that which is, which has real, has no cessation. That which is unreal has no duration. So anything modern means it has no duration, because it was modern today, but it won't be modern tomorrow. Therefore, it's not real. So those of us who are striving to be modern are striving to be an illusion. That is all. Just a waste of time. So the Guru is able to remove the ignorance caused by illusion, because they are the embodiment of the knowledge of the Shastras. They are completely fixed in that knowledge, and then they can reveal to you the absolute truth. That's why ISKCON is completely existing. He is, Srila Prabhupada has revealed the absolute truth through his words, his actions, and through his books. Why are we sitting here today? Because of Srila Prabhupada. So the Guru can, if he wants, he can be a real Guru, right, on the Srila Prabhupada, he can reveal Krishna to us, if he wants to, if we are deserving. There one time, in Sri Lanka, Ramanujacharya, he was giving a class to his sannyasis. And he was explaining this principle of the mercy of the Guru Kripa, that he can reveal the absolute truth to anyone. So, the disciple said, really? Is it possible to anybody? He said, yes. So they were behind Ramanuja, there was this man. You know, so they pointed him. What about this man? So this man, he was holding an umbrella over this beautiful woman, obviously, and looking at her like, you know, just totally focused on her. What about him? He's completely engrossed in illusion. Can you reveal the absolute truth to him? He said, yes. Watch. So he went up to this man and he said, what is your name? And what are you doing? I'm the wrestling coach for the king. Who is this lady? She's my friend. He's my friend. You're my friend. So he said, the Shastras, it explains that man is bewildered by the beauty of woman. Do you have to make it such a public demonstration? You have to embarrass yourself so much by doing it publicly? So then he says, I can see you think I'm a fool because I'm doing this with this woman, completely ensnared in my bedroom. That's not the truth. The truth is, I am a great appreciator of beauty. I have a great sense of aesthetics. And she is so beautiful, I would not want to see her skin become dry because of the sun, damaged because of the sun. So I'm just preserving her beauty. Like that. So, Ramayana says, so, if I show you something more beautiful, would you serve that? And he said, certainly, you think I'm a fool? Of course, if you can show me something more beautiful, I am, after all, I am a connoisseur of beauty. I will definitely, if you can show me something more beautiful. So, and Ramayana says, come with me, I'll show you. So they went into the Garbhagriha, and Ramayana, he took the deepa, and he gave the darshan of Ranganath Swami from the feet to the eyes. And he has golden feet. Anybody who's been to Sri Ganga? And so, of course, this Dhanurdasa, Dhanur, he had seen Ranganath Swami many times before, but he had not been shown Ranganath by the Guru, by Ramanuja. Then he saw Ranganath for the first time, because just like Krishna gave Arjuna the eyes to see, the Vishwarupa, the Guru, by Guru Kripa, he gave Dandara the eyes to see the Lord. Then he began to cry. Then he became disciple of Ramanuja. And also, his girlfriend became his wife.
There's many stories that goes to, but that's another thing. So
the Guru wants you, not in any case, we will not do that in any case.
By special mercy, the Guru can do that. He did not show that to all of his disciples. But to make a point, he did that. He revealed what the Lord appeared to him.
So naturally, because in reality we really don't know Krishna.
We don't know Krishna.
What do we know about Krishna?
I don't know anything about Krishna.
All I know, I heard from Srila Prabhupada, or from his representatives. Just like in the last few days, I had a very good fortune of having the association of Dina Bandhu. So Dina Bandhu, the friend of the poor, he was enriching me by some Krishna Katha. So he was telling me something about Krishna. But I don't know. All I know is Krishna. That's all I know. All I really know. I don't know Krishna, I don't know Radha, I don't know Vajra. All I know is Guru. In reality, that's just the fact. If he wants to reveal more, then he can reveal more. But in reality, all that we have is Krishna, is the Guru. That's the root. This is the facts of life. And if we, why? If we're, because he, why? Because the Guru is the representative of Krishna. He is the external manifestation of the Paramatma. And we can in no way, even in our wildest dream, think that we, you know, that we know anything about the Guru. So we have to take complete, total shelter of the Guru. It's he is who we know. It's like whenever I, you know, hear, and I hear the words, you know, I hear a lecture or a bhajan by Srila Prabhupada, and whatever, if I may have been feeling very disturbed or distressed for some reason, I immediately become to feel calm. It's like a child. A child is very disturbed, and then hears the sound of his mother, then the child becomes, you know, peaceful. Same way, if we take shelter of the Guru, then we also will feel in the shelter. It's like a small child. And we're just a small children, very tiny. We're like babies. Because the disciples are the children of the Guru. Literally, they're the children. It's like in the Guru Kula, mostly the Gurus were not sannyasis. They were grihasthas. So it is the Guru Kula. Kula means what? Family. Kula is a family. So the Kula Devata, the family deity. So you're in the family, you become in the family of the Guru. So he is our father, he is our everything. Another example from the life of Ramanujacharya. One time, Ramanuja was taking his disciples for darshan. And one disciple, everybody else is looking at Ranganath Swami, but this disciple had his back toward Ramanath. We're looking at Ramanuja. Everybody's thinking, what's with him? He's a pagal or what? And so finally I was like, what's wrong? You didn't eat this morning or something? You're not feeling well? Why are you looking at me? He says, I don't know this Ramanath. I don't know this Ramanath. All I know is you. So why I should look at him? I'm looking at you because you are my life and soul. I only know you. You are my connection. Therefore, I'm looking at you. You are God. Therefore, everything I know, you are simply made by your mercy. Any good qualities I have is from your mercy alone. So I'm looking at you. So then, Ramanuja was pleased that he was looking at the representative of Ramanuja Swami.
But we have to be always cognizant of our relationship with the Guru, because the Guru is the link in the Guru Parampara. We all have a very great responsibility. So we did not join ISKCON. That may, sometimes we may have that illusion. We didn't join ISKCON. We joined the Guru Parampara. We were not initiated into ISKCON. We were initiated into the Guru Parampara. Everybody got that? That is the fact. Because there's only four Paramparas. Not one of them is called the ISKCON Parampara. ISKCON is a servant of the Parampara. ISKCON is a vehicle to fulfill the orders of the Guru Parampara. So you have to remember that. So as long as ISKCON, it's like as long as the Gaudiya Math was fulfilling the orders, then the Srila Prabhupada found a need to continue to do something. So in a similar way, history may repeat itself, but we have to understand, we as links in the Guru Parampara, our responsibility is to be a strong link in that chain of succession. Or it will break. Krishna says in the second verse of the fourth chapter of the Gita that this Guru Parampara, it broke. When I read that verse, I was it was inconceivable to me that this could happen, that some disciple would deviate from his guru. But in my own life, I've seen it happen before my eyes. It's not. There's so many instances we won't discuss, but it happens. So if one has complete and utter faith in guru, then a sadhu, then one can make amends. What is that? Like it says that if one may please Krishna, but if one doesn't please the Guru, then actually Krishna is not good. That's the eighth stanza of the Guru Vashtakam. Unless one pleases the Guru, then Krishna is not pleased, no matter what we do. We cannot step over the heads of the Guru. And to those great souls who have implicit faith in Krishna, in the Guru, and all the imports of the Vedas are revealed. The whole Vedas manifest prakashant, there's revealed light. All of the Vedas appear. There is a very instructive example of this in the Mahabharata. I think it's the very beginning of the Mahabharata, where there was one guru, and then he had only three disciples. Right? So, one day, he had some field. So he noticed that the water was flooding the field. So he told one disciple, "You go, find out why the water is flooding and stop the flooding." So he went. So he looked around, looking. Finally he found out that there was some hole, but he couldn't find a stone, he couldn't put something. The only way that the water could be stopped is if he put his back against the hole and just kept it with his back. But his body had to, only by his body stopping, the water would stop. So he just did it. He went in the hole and he put his body and blocked the water coming out. And he stayed there all day and all night. The next day, when he came for teaching Shastra, the Guru said, where's my disciple? Where's he gone? Well, yesterday you told him to go in the field. He hasn't come back yet. So they went looking and started calling his name. Finally, he came to the area. The disciple immediately jumped out and explained, "Well, I couldn't come to class as you told me. want to stop the water. So I did that. The only way I could do it was my body. Well, the Guru was very happy. He said, because you are such completely followed by orders, even at great difficulty, inconvenience, you can go home now. Your studies are completed. The Vedas will manifest in your mind. Prakashanti. Everything will come, because that's the thing. They're their issues. Studies complete. You have pleased me, you can go home. Your studies, everything you will know. Anyway, he was completely, he knew everything in a short period. He had a second disciple. So he put this disciple in charge of the cows, his cows. So, as we know, unless the guru calls the shishya for eating, he doesn't eat. So this guru didn't call the shishya to eat. But if you notice him, he's very fat. So he asked him, why are you so fat? How come you're fat? You look a little strong. He said, well, Guru Maharaj, every day I go out and beg and I eat. But what? And the guru's eyes became exorbitant. This is against the law. According to Shastra, this is against the law. Anything you beg, it belongs to me. This is very bad. He said, listen, yes, Guru Maharaj, you're right. I'll not do it anymore. So, the guru still didn't come up to eat. And he's noticing the disciple is still fat. So he asked him, so, how come you're still fat? How are you eating? What are you surviving? He says, well, after begging the first time and giving to you, I beg second time. And then he became upset. What is this? That belongs to me also. Don't do it anymore. He says, against the law. Law meaning Manushmiti. The law of mankind. So he said, yes, Guru Maharaj, yes, you're right. I won't do it. Again, Guru wasn't calling him to eat. But he noticed, his disciple was still fat. He's not losing any weight. So he asked, so, now, why what are you eating now? He says, well, when I milk the cows, I drink. And the Guru again said, those are my cows. The milk is my cow. How are you eating without my permission? It is against the law. Don't eat that. The disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj, you're right. I made a mistake. I won't do it anymore. So, still, Guru Maharaj is not calling him to eat. But he's still looking back. So he asked him, now how are you living? He said, well, after the calves eat, sometimes they regurgitate this foam. This foam comes from their mouth, but milk, so I eat that. And the guru said, don't do that. The calves, they just feel sorry for you. They're feeling sorry for you that you're not eating, and they're actually giving you some bhikshu, and they're depriving themselves of food. So don't do that. They're in my house. You're making them unhealthy. Don't do that. So is that it? Yes, Guru Maharaj, you're right. I won't do that anymore. So now the disciple, he's hurting cows, his food's not calling him to eat. He's starving to death. He's so hungry. He's wandering. He begins to eat the leaves of the arka tree, which is like filled with poison. He's eating the piss out of sheer hunger. And because of it, he goes blind. He now becomes blinded. And he's blind, and then he walks and he falls in a well, in a hole. And he's just there, you know, blind, starving to death, hungry. And so the next day at the class, there's only one disciple. One is gone home, and the other one is, you know. So he says, where did he go? So, well, he told him to go get the cow. He never called him for dinner, so, prasad, so he's still up there somewhere. So the guru and the shishya, they were calling his name, calling. Finally, they come to the well. So then the disciple says, yes, I'm down here. And then explain what happened. He's blind, he had eaten, arbitrary, the whole thing. The guru said, okay, no problem. Everything will be okay. He said, you simply recite this one mandala from the Rig Veda, pleasing Ashwini Kumaras. They will come, and you will be cured. So the disciple shishya, he recited the whole section of the Rig Veda, and sure enough, Ashwini Kumaras appeared. And they said, here, they had some cake. He said, you eat this rice cake and your vision will be returned. The disciple said,
you please offer to my guru first. I'm not taking.
And then he says, no. It's medicine. You should take this. Your vision will return. He says,
no, I'm sorry, but you offer to my guru first.
He says, no. You please take it. Your guru, he also gave the hip and knees.
He said, no. You first give to my guru, I will not take. So they were arguing about this. He says, I will not take. So finally, his guru was very pleased. Ashwini Kumar is very pleased. And guru says, you please take. So his guru was so pleased with his disciple that the disciple was preferred to be blind than to take something from his guru. Because his guru told him, don't take something without my permission. So he would rather be blind. So his guru was so pleased with him. He said, no. Your studies are complete. I am very pleased. Ashwini is pleased with you. You can now go home. The Vedas, they will appear in your heart. So a disciple should be so faithful to his guru, he would rather be dead, rather be blind, than to disobey his guru. Don't be a weak link. Be stronger. Bhakti Siddhanta, after they opened what came to be known as the Gaudiya Math, when it came, the first time it came to the appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the Shiksha Guru of Bhakti Siddhanta. He's also his father, but Bhakti Siddhanta was the editor of the books of Bhaktivinoda. So when it came for that Guru Puja, he spent lavishly to honor and worship his Guru. Quintals, hundreds of quintals of rice they purchased at Kuru. Glorified Bhaktivinoda Thakur. From that day, there was never any problem for money, for land, for anything. Everything just met. This went astronomically. But what happens if one displeases the Guru, if one offends the Guru? We don't have to look very far. Here in Vrindavan, back in the 70s, had one godbrother by the name of Nittai. You can find it in the database. So one time Nittai, he started camping out at Radhapuram. He became affected by persons who were inimical to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and thus to Srila Prabhupada. So he begged. He came to Srila Prabhupada and he asked for a blessing. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, please bless me that I will find a real guru. I will find a real guru. Please bless me. That is a great insult to Srila Prabhupada. Very great insult. And Srila Prabhupada had a real guru. He didn't know anything. He didn't know how the king is behind him before being Srila Prabhupada. Now he's asking me to be a real guru. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada, he said, you will not find a real guru for crores of lifetimes. You will not find. Then he left because he was so puffed up, because he knew a little Sanskrit, but he was so puffed up. Anyway, if you fast forward it, a few years ago, I found the website of this person, Neil Delmarco. In it, he reveals that now he doesn't even know whether God exists or not. He had become an agnostic, an atheist. That is the result of Guru Aparatha. He was not even, now he's doubting the existence of God. So, no wonder they were taking four lifetimes before he finds another Guru. How can he become an atheist? Is the result of Guru Aparatha. So, at this time, take the class. Any comments or questions? Yes, is it my turn?
So, how one
Srila Prabhupada explains the meaning in the purport. He said it means someone who is sincere. That's the meaning. If you're sincere, if you sincerely want to serve, Krishna is in your heart, you can achieve. So Prabhupada defined that to be exactly an answer to your question by saying sincerity is the definition. To be a fortunate soul means to be a sincere soul. You sincerely want to serve Krishna. Sincerely want to purify yourself. Is there a Gita here? Is there a Gita? Is there a Bhagavad Gita? Anywhere around here. Anywhere there's a Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, it's so difficult to get chat. Otherwise someone will take it, I think. Sincere, but they may not be able to do everything. Not because they don't want to do, but because of their bad habits, so many different things. But they're still sincere. So there's a very nice instructive verse and purport in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 31, a very short purport. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. Now here's the important part, or the part that refers to us in particular. So first, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if one may be a very great scholar, but if he doesn't have faith in Krishna, then it won't work. But he says, but an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So we're not envious. No. Krishna is perfect. His laws are perfect. I'm rotten. It's my, the law should not, and some people, they want to change the law to suit them. They're lowering the bar, lowering the standard. No, Krishna is perfect. His laws are perfect. I am imperfect. That's sincerity. Not that we change things. We have faith in Krishna. We're sincere. We want to follow this. But even if I'm not able to do it, it is Krishna's right and I am wrong. That's sincere. That is sincerity. I am wrong. I can't do it, but Krishna is right. I pray someday I'll be able to follow it. He is right, but I am not. That's sincere. And what does he say? It says, and one is that you don't resent Krishna, the principle, and you work sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness. So, when there's troubles in spiritual life, we may fall, we may trip, but we continue. Sometimes there's an unflattering comparison between Haridas Thakur and Vishwamitra Muni. We hear this sometimes. Haridas Thakur, Vishwamitra. But we can learn something from Vishwamitra Muni. Yes, he fell down. a good Russian. But what did he do? He picked himself up again. Then he fell down with Rambo. He got angry with him. But what did he do? He picked himself up again. And he fell down another time. But what did he do? He picked himself up again and kept going. Eventually, what happened? He became the guru of our Ram. He arranged the marriage ceremony of Ram secret because he did not give up. He was not defeated. He may have lost the battle, but he didn't lose the war. Because he went on without consideration of defeat and hopelessness. So it's, we have to have the same rule. You may lose a few battles, but don't lose the war. Because if you give up, you lose. There's no chance. As long as you keep fighting, you will win eventually. It's a multi-lifetime process for most of us. A few may be very short, but for most of us it's going to take a while. A few hundred, but what's a few hundred lifetimes? It's not in the time frame of eternity, is that? If we live 100 lifetimes, if it's 100 lifetimes, that's only 10,000 years. 100 times 100 is 10,000 years. That's not in eternity. In this whole universe, one Manvantara is about 200 million years. One day of Lord Brahma is 4 billion 332 times. That's, like I said, 311 trillion years, 40 billion years. And what is that? That's simply the inhalation, exhalation of Lord Mahavishnu. So it's 10,000 lifetimes. What's 1,000 lifetimes? 10,000. It's nothing. So we shouldn't give up. Otherwise, if we give up, then we'll go from one Brahmanda to the next Brahmanda in samsara. But to answer your question, what it means to be Bhagyavanji, we have to be sincere, we have to be honest. We can't try to. I remember when I read one Catholic Christian newspaper, the heading was, "Religion is meant to change man, not man religion." Religion is meant to change us, not that we're supposed to change religion. So people, they want to always change, to bring it down to their standard.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.